okay? If you a freak, then you come on with me. And I know what you came here to do. Now, let me see you get loose. It's going down for it. Coming to you live from Browns headquarters in Berea, Ohio. This is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
What's up, Dog Pound? Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm here in the Dog Bowl in Berea, Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. And we are going to get you the coordinators today. John DeFilippo, which I thought was a very good interview from yesterday, press conference from yesterday. We'll have that at 1:30 and 2. He gives a lot of very good information in that, a long one. And then Jim O'Neill will be with us at 2:30. We're going to go around the league at 2:15. And we'll take your calls and tweets. And don't forget, tonight at 7 o'clock right here on the PNC Bank Cleveland Browns Radio Network, Ken Carmen and I are joined by head coach Mike Pettine and Darius Jennings for the Mike Pettine Show. That is happening tonight at 7 o'clock all across the PNC Bank Cleveland Browns Radio Network. All right, today we're going to go through, we're going to grade the defense against the Bills. We are going to kind of highlight the roster. We did the special teams in the offense, so already we're going to highlight the battles, so look there. Browns take on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers this Saturday. Did you catch any of the game last night?
I did. I watched, I think I turned on the 9-minute mark in the first quarter, so I watched probably, and then the remainder of the first half.
All right.
And I was impressed by Jameis Winston.
As was I.
And I just thought his control, moxie as a quarterback, and just, you know, at times getting knocked down but still making the throws, getting right back up, being that leader that many other quarterbacks do in the National Football League. And my other big takeaway from that football game was Cincinnati does not look good.
They did not look good. Andy Dalton looked a lot like Andy Dalton, 6 of 13, 46 yards, 2 picks. Jameis, 8 of 13 for 90 yards, ran in a touchdown for the second straight week. I thought he looked good as well. He's a total NFL pocket passer, and he's only going to get better on his core competencies. I still think his release is a little bit long,
I do too,
from being a pitcher, but he showed a lot. Doug Martin looked very good. Did you see the one run where he disappeared because eight guys were tackling him, then all of a sudden he's running 20 yards down the
field?
I did.
And something else that stuck out to me, and it's not and essentially an issue for the Cleveland Browns, was the Buccaneers' defense looked really good. I mean, Gerald McCoy and Larry English, a guy that I played with in San Diego, is getting a fresh start there in Tampa. Just the amount of pressure that they put on Andy Dalton, you know, he got happy feet, threw some balls early, as you mentioned. The ball to A.J. Green should have got caught, that interception for a touchdown, so that falls on A.J. But all the playmakers, Jeremy Hill, A.J. Green, and Andy Dalton, were all at fault at some point in the first half that they were out there.
I remember in Cincinnati last year, A.J. Green had seemed very fed up with Andy Dalton. And I know it was a preseason game, but I didn't think his body language and his effort was where it should have been.
Right.
And he's playing for a contract.
This is a guy that's about to get $80 million.
And I don't know if he's just kind of, you know, passively, aggressively rebelling against Andy Dalton, but you get the sense, it didn't seem like there was a lot of that great chemistry. They came out, the first play was a nice rollout,
right,
hit him on the comebacker, and then after that it just kind of looked, and on the interception, not a lot of effort from A.J. Green.
Right. Not a lot of care when the camera was on him after.
No. You know,
and maybe it was because it was a preseason game, but what stuck out to me on your comments that you just made is A.J. Green and kind of being, you know, having those feelings towards Andy Dalton. Andy Dalton's a guy that has been secured, you know, as the future of the quarterback position for the Cincinnati Bengals. And as you mentioned, A.J. Green is vying for that contract. We saw, what, Dez and Demaryius Thomas get the, what, four-year, $75
million? Yep.
Dollar deals. And so
Julio and A.J. are next.
Yeah, Julio and A.J. are next. And if you're being obstinate towards the quarterback, you're being obstinate towards the franchise because he's already gotten his contract.
Yeah, and again, good. I like seeing the Bengals not looking so good.
As do I.
And then we saw, of course, I thought the Bucs looked pretty good. And I thought Mike Glennon looked very good once he came in. He was 10 of 15 for a buck 21 and a touchdown on the day. But, yeah, it was good to see Jameis. And, you know, we both said that he was our favorite quarterback coming into this draft because he was so much more pro-oriented than, say, a Marcus Mariota, who's looked, you know, he's had some rough parts, but also has had some impressive parts in his early going down there in Tennessee. I don't know. Did you catch any Tennessee game over the weekend?
I did not.
So I just watched the highlights. Dorial Green-Beckham looked awesome.
Did he?
He had a stretch where he had three balls in a row to him, and he just like a man child, which is exactly what he is.
Teddy Bridgewater, Charles Johnson, Dorial Green-Beckham.
They could be. It would be a lot different looking offense.
It would, wouldn't it?
It would be a much different looking offense here for the Cleveland Browns. But we'll hear about that offense from offensive coordinator John DeFilippo, as we said. The other thing that kind of caught that my attention was an article about Peyton Hillis that came out today from Bleacher Report. Really big kind of profile about him, and basically said he blamed in some ways the media here in Cleveland and the Browns organization working in cahoots with the media to drive him out of town, which when you think about it, doesn't make a ton of sense. He was on the last year of his rookie deal. If they didn't really want him here, they would have let him just go away, you know, after the deal was up. And it was, you know, just reading it, you know, he did so many things that year. I remember that were so, you know, probably counterproductive and ultimately to where he wanted to get. But to say that the media and the Browns were in cahoots is to be ignorant of the way that I would say that the media and the Browns, their relationship, I'd say it's tenuous at best. I think the media is tired of the Browns not winning. They call the Browns out on just about everything. And I was pretty sure Peyton Hillis was a media darling for a while until he did things that put him in a negative light, like sitting out a game with strep throat because his agent told him to. And I just think it was an interesting read. It seems that he's in a happy place now, which is good. I'm happy for him, but just a very interesting read about how everything kind of went together. And I remember Joe Thomas really called him out at that time. And there are some quotes in the article about that.
Yeah. It's, I don't know. I don't understand. At no point in my career do I felt like, you know, through the ups and downs that I've had at my few stops, did I feel like I need to write some, you know, letter, some blog about my situation and explaining, you know, why I feel how I feel when you're an afterthought when it comes to the National Football League now. And even furthermore, the fact that he's portraying the media, who, as you mentioned, are upset with all the negative that has circled the Browns franchise over the last 15 years, would be in, you know, a team to bring him down personally.
Right.
Like, what? These guys, you're trying, at that point, I mean, okay, you're trying to get your clicks, you're trying to get eyes on your articles, you're trying to write, you're trying to build up your brand. You know, and with the emergence of social media, the Browns are trying to win football games. Both of them are going to deter from those goals that they have for themselves and take down one man. Makes no sense.
It does not make a lot of sense, and it seems to be just kind of an unfortunate thing for how it all ultimately ended up playing out for him here with the Cleveland Browns. He had that great year. He's the only Madden cover guy in the history of Madden covers to never have been a Pro Bowler or an All-Pro. Food for thought there with Peyton Hillis. So the Browns, the players are off today. They'll return to work tomorrow and really start to get ready for this game Saturday against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, which is kind of the final dress rehearsal, you know, week 4 of the preseason. Some guys can fight to make this team, but for the most part, you know, this is really the final dress rehearsal. The first cuts will come 2 days after this game, that Monday. The first round of cuts is the roster will be trimmed from 90 to 75. And then from 75 down into 53 following the game against Chicago.
Yeah, the cut from every time that I'm in tune, you know, either following the game of football around this time and or when I participated, you know, on a team, whether it was San Diego, San Francisco, or Green Bay, 90 to 75 happens very easily. And it's very evident, I think, to a high portion of the team and these coaches, who's going to make it and who's not. And as you talked about even yesterday and late last week, that there's going to be no surprises, you know, in that 75 to 90 group or 90 to 75 group. It's just going to be guys that you expect that have no opportunity to play here in Cleveland. Everyone that, you know, furthermore, moving on, I would say a high percentage of the 75, because you figure the 53 plus 10 practice squad spots. So 63 of the 75 are high. There's a high likelihood that they're in this building. Yep. Because, you know, you want to retain your own via practice squad unless, you know, something very, you know, there's a shiny object out there for Ray Farmer that got released from another squad with an opportunity to bring him over here, either for the active roster or the practice squad roster.
Yeah, and interesting, though, what do you think the impact will be that now you can pay practice squad guys differently? So it almost makes it kind of like undrafted free agent recruiting in some sense. Once the guys are cut, if you want to call and sign a guy to your practice squad, you can pay them, if you choose, higher or lower, you know, you have an opportunity to.
You're saying post draft?
Yeah.
Yeah, I like it. And I think that's
with the practice squad now. So, like, when guys are cut, say a guy who's practice squad eligible that you want to sign and put on your practice squad, you can, once they're free, it's almost like you can negotiate with them and almost recruit them at like they do with an undrafted free agent where you could give a guy a bonus or whatever. You can do that with practice squad guys now.
With the amount of money that they make?
Yes.
Really? Within reason?
Yes. Well, it's a new rule. You can do whatever you want.
Huh. I did not know that.
Yeah.
So that's news to me. But it's very interesting. I really am. And I think but it's good. It makes it a competitive market. It lets those guys that have been released evaluate the teams throughout the National Football League and what creates the best situation for them to grow their NFL career.
Yeah, and they can see. Listen, if you play a certain position where you know a team's a little bit light, decide where you want to try to match up, as it were, at those spots. We're going to talk about this roster, you know, as the week goes on, especially probably getting up to Tampa Bay. We're going to highlight the key battles, and then we're going to have the cuts, and we'll take a look at it again next week. But when we come back, we're going to look at the defense against the Buffalo Bills, because I thought a lot of pluses coming out of the defense in that game against the Buffalo Bills, some guys that you really could single out as having played good football for this Browns team. We'll talk about that when we come back. We'll also take your phone calls, 216-578-0850. At the bottom of this hour, we'll hear part one of John DeFilippo, 2 o'clock, part two of John DeFilippo, 2:30, Jim O'Neill's. We bring you the coordinator press conferences today here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.